Hey, what's up, guys? This is Justin from Stadium Edge. So today we're going to be talking about springtime weather emergencies. We're going to talk about how to be prepared for them. We're going to talk about what to look for, what to get ready for, some old cliches and some old wives' tales. But before that, I promised you on the last podcast, if you were listening, that I would give my not-so-expert yet educated opinion on constitutional carry as a law. And I'm going to sum it up, and then I'm going to go into detail about, why I think, what I think about constitutional carry. First and foremost, I believe that beyond a shadow of any kind of doubt, you have the right as a human being to defend your life up to and including lethal force. Period. Point blank. You do. With that in mind, I also believe that any government restriction on that right to include how and what tools you use to accomplish that task when your life is threatened are wrong and should be null and void. I don't care if you carry an AR-15 for personal protection. I would, but they don't make a concealed carry holster for an AR-15. Just saying. I don't care if you carry a shotgun. I don't care if you carry one of those new, what do you call them? Mossberg makes them. Oh, what is it? Shockwave. That's right. I don't care if you carry a shockwave. I don't care if you carry a Serbu super shorty 5-inch 12-gauge shotgun. I don't care, or shot firearm, I should say, because those aren't actually shotguns. I don't care if you carry a 357 Magnum revolver. I don't care if you carry a plastic Fantastic, as the cool kids like to call it. Like a Glock, or like a Glock with a 30-round magazine, or a Smith & Wesson super compact with a 6-round magazine. I don't care. I don't care what tool that you decide is fit for you to carry for your own preservation of life purposes. I don't care. As long as... Addendum, and this is the second part of the constitutional carry bill that I have a little bit of a problem with. As long as you do so responsibly, and that's my problem with the latter half of the constitutional carry bill as it is. It, under the law, sort of relieves the end user of what was, in my mind, a good thing. Now, do I believe that the government should have mandated the training course and 8-hour safety, the 8-hour training and safety course to obtain a concealed carry permit? I don't think they should have mandated it. But looking back on it now and the way that it was done, I think it was a good thing if they were. I think they went about it the right way if they were going to mandate it, which they did for a while. But the law now states, in the state of Kentucky, and I haven't done a whole lot of research on what other states have actually adopted the constitutional carry law. And by the way, I'm a concealed carry holder as well. I have been around guns, shooting guns, working with guns my entire life. And when I turned 21 of legal age to buy a pistol in the state of Kentucky, I got my concealed carry as well a couple years later. I paid the permit. I paid the sheriff's office fee. I paid the guy to take the course. I took the course. I got the certificate. And then I got my concealed carry ID. As well as, you know, all my accessories and firearm and all that jazz, and have been carrying a weapon on my body for 5+ years now, professionally and on the civilian level. So I've got a little experience in this realm. In the second half of concealed carry, this is what I see. I see the law allowing the deferment of responsibility of operation, maintenance, and safety with said firearm. for the simple fact that now anybody, regardless of their background, regardless of their training, regardless of their education level in firearms, can now go to a gun store, purchase a firearm, and a concealed carry, air quotes, holster. I'm sorry, Uncle Mike's, you're not a holster. You're not a holster. You are a piece of nylon masquerading as a holster that people use to wrap around guns and call them holsters. They're not. Or not even have a holster for that matter. They just go to a gun store, buy a firearm, and stick it in their pants. Which is how you shoot yourself. Just say it. But that's my point. I think the constitutional carry bill, because we no longer have a requirement to go get a basic safety course and a basic qualification course on the range, I think it's opening the door for a lot of firearms related issues, is what I think. And whether you're conservative or liberal or whatever, anything that makes it easier for the people that aren't looking out for your rights to take away your rights because of data, because we all know that they don't really care about the data anyway, they'll screw it anyway, they'll skew it anyway that they want to put it. We're just making their job a little bit more easy. Is the best word I can come up with. We're just making their job easier for them. Because now we're not requiring people to get a training course. We're not requiring people to get a proficiency course in firearms. By the way, wasn't that strenuous of a course to take? Like, I've taken quite a few firearms courses. The concealed carry course to, you know, make sure you're safe with the weapon, you know all the laws pertaining to the use of that weapon, and that you can hit what you aim at, wasn't really the end-all be-all of firearms courses, to be honest. It just wasn't. It was actually pretty brief. Sorry, I'm driving right now, making sure I'm staying safe on the road while I'm talking to you guys. So what I think is, it's going to open the door for a lot of unexpected stuff that's going to happen that a lot of people aren't really thinking about. But let's pause for a minute and grab a word from our sponsor. And when we come back, that was my bit on constitutional carry. We'll grab a word from our sponsor real quick, and we'll come on back, and I'll start with some spring preparedness tips. See you after the break. Alright guys, so we are back after the break. I'm getting ready to be at my last appointment for the day. Let's go over some spring preparedness tips right quick. So we all know it's spring, and excuse the loud, unreasonably loud truck next to me, but we all know it's spring, and we know that weather can be unexpected at times, and that's amplified in my home state of Kentucky for sure. All year round, we never really know what the weather's going to do, which kind of breeds a culture of emergency preparedness, because we always have stuff in our car for every type of weather, because we can literally experience every type of weather in a single day, within a matter of hours. Rain, sleet, snow, hail, lightning, thunder, tornadoes, all of it. Just in a single day. Done it before, probably do it again before I die. Anyway, so spring preparedness, real quick. Flash floods are common, just due to the unstable nature of the spring season. What happens is the storms will pop up out of nowhere unexpectedly and drop some pretty heavy rain. You know, that old cliche, April showers bring May flowers and all that stuff. Well, there's a reason why they said that, because it can happen anytime really unexpectedly and dump a lot of rain. So my first point is, if the water's over the roads, turn around. turn around, figure out another way to get to where you're trying to get. Use high ground. There's a road that goes up over a hill. Depending on what's on the other side of the, you know, other side of the hill, the downhill part, you're probably better to do that, to go that route than you are, you know, where the water's already over the road. So you think you can make it, but you probably can't. 9 times out of 10, when the water's over the road, you can't make it. Don't try it. You're going to get your truck stuck. Somebody's about to come get you out of your car. Go. Just turn around and go back the way you came. Figure out another route. If the water's over the road, don't go. Secondly, on that note, it's probably a good idea to have some emergency rain poncho, emergency wet weather gear, perishable food, non-perishable food and water, lights, lots and lots of lights. Emergency lighting is key in this scenario. You need to have emergency locators, what I call emergency locators, reflective stuff that will allow people to see you if you do get stuck. Obviously, you know, tow straps are a great thing because they can, you know, you can, what they call self-rescue with it, with, you know, pretty much with a tow strap and a stick. There's a really cool video on YouTube on how to make a winch with two sticks and a tow strap, which I think is really cool. But, yeah, I'm into all that kind of stuff. But yeah, water's over the road, don't go. Make sure your emergency equipment in your vehicle's up to date. First aid kit, emergency wet weather gear, non-perishable food and water, tow strap, all that stuff. Reflectors, so that you can be seen if you do get stuck or there's an accident or what have you. Jumper cables are never a bad idea. Just be prepared, because this is kind of a volatile time for a lot of people in the country, around the world, really. Just be as prepared as you can. So that was your real quick, down and dirty, spring preparedness, weather tips, because things happen, and when they happen fast, and you got to be prepared for them. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and end this podcast. This is Justin for City of Edge, and, let me know what you guys want to see for the next one. If you want me to make a series or whatever it is, let me know. With that, this is Justin for City of Edge. And we will see you guys down the road.